Well, it hasn't taken me that long, and I'm starting to figure it out. You ever hear that song, "Give Me 40 Acres, I'll Turn This Thing Around"? Well, give me enough time, and I'll get it. The title of this message is Led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure I'm not going to do any justice to the message, but one of the mistakes that people make is believing they're led by the Spirit. I mean, I've been there. Believing they're led by the Spirit when they're not. And I've been there too many times. And I'm not so sure that we understand it yet, but I think we're getting a little bit of an eye-opener. I think we're getting a little bit of an understanding of what it means. And just some comments before I get into the message. When people are deceived, they don't know that they're deceived. If they knew they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived. And so, when the Promise Keepers, a number of years ago, that we went down to the, I went to one down in Denver somewhere, or close to Denver, down in to the Promise Keepers. We heard a saying that said, every man should be have another man who he is responsible to. And it sounded good. And but the more I thought about it, and especially recently, you're not going to answer to somebody that you don't agree with. So you've got some problems with the whole thought pattern. If you don't respect the person, you're not going to answer to them. And if they don't agree with what you feel, you're not going to answer to them either. So it's a kind of a tricky situation. And so in Colossians 11, or in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it tells us this. It says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God, and the head of the woman is the man. And this is 1 Corinthians 11:3. And so, as good as this may sound, it's a trap that stops. I mean, you know, this the Promise Keepers thing that keeps people from looking, being led by Christ into righteousness. See, it is never men over men, but rather Christ over men. And so, who do we know that we should get counsel from? No one except Christ, and of course, God's Word. And as such, except for you, who would I ask for concerning the voice that I heard? You know, I heard something. And so, here I am. It was an obvious thing. It really happened. And as God is my witness, I heard a voice. But you know what? Not everybody would believe that. And so, what do? You stick within the rounds of the bounds of the church situation that you're a part of, and see. I don't know. I can't read my own writing. My glasses aren't helping me a lot here. We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to know them that labor among us. And why? Because if they are sons, or if some are in false doctrines or have false interpretations, they will work to try and prove to us their theory. I heard a man that understood that Jesus was a man, and he was all excited about it. And then he came up with, he says, but we've also discovered that if God's will is that all men should be saved, all men are going to be saved. And it's like he was taking it out of context, and he got this theory in his head, and he was convinced that it was true. And so the devil is even able to work through us if we're not careful. So Jesus said to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. And you think, Peter, of all people, with the keys to the kingdom, and See, we all need to be led by the Scriptures and by the Holy Spirit, and not by the theories of men. That's what we need that desperately. See, God spoke to the Jewish fathers by the prophets, it tells us in the first verse of Hebrews. And then in verse 2 it says, verse 1 he also said, and he spoke to us by his Son, by Christ. And it says, by whom he made the worlds. And, you know, when we start taking these Scriptures and we go by every word, and the Bible says we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. We start using the every word concept, we come up to revelations that we easily miss as we read them because we're carnal, we're natural. And so it said, it calls Christ the expressed image of God's person. And he inherited his name, and God set him over the works of his hands. And so anyway, it's a strange way that the Bible speaks, but what we got to do is we have to listen. It said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And I think we were talking about that this morning, weren't we, Kirky? Wasn't there a conversation going on after the service? And the fact is, we don't do that. There's hardly anybody that does. See, it says that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. You know what? It's taken me years just to understand that one verse, or put that one verse together. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. It starts to make sense now. But I tell you what, I have bypassed that. I've overlooked it. I've missed the whole what it said. And he has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. God did the speaking through these people. If God created us, and since he did, is he not capable of taking and using us to speak what he wants? And so is this Bible then God's word? Even though it's expressed through men, it's still God's word. But you see, the natural carnal man can never pick that up. Because that makes absolutely no sense. And the only way that it makes sense to anybody is by faith. By faith we understand. Well, all things were created by the Word of God. But God used his Son Jesus Christ to create the heavens and the earth. You know what? That don't make sense. But that's what the Bible says. But after a while, we begin to understand it. I understand it. I don't know why, except for faith. But the fact that few there be that find it is a great hidden mystery. And so when people see it, what we have is we have this, like this Joe, whatever his name is, he was telling me that they have also learned that God is going to save all people in the very end. That, you know, and I thought, well, then what is the reason for witnessing or preaching or you know, if God's going to save everybody at the end anyway, then, you know, or if few there be that find it, that doesn't make any sense. And so the few there be that find it is a great hidden mystery to the church, because what we have is we got this thing where multitudes of people feel that great, you know, the broad is the way and wide is the gate, and it's like you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that, and if you just do certain things, God is pleased with you. And but it's not scripture. It's thought. It's theories. It's ideas. It's if we do this, then God is pleased with us. So if we all get together and we worship God, we're fine. But that's not what the Bible says. That's what men say. And that makes a lot of difference. Somehow, the devil comes in with the idea that the majority will always be right. And so when Christ came, the Jewish leader said, do any of us believe in him? And they took a vote, apparently. I don't know what they did for sure. And they agreed that none of them believed in him. And of course, their answer was no. And so we are told that he came unto his own, those who should have recognized him, and they received him not. And of course, they were wrong, being a multitude or not. They were wrong. They said, we don't recognize him. I was given some major insight the other day as I was talking to somebody else that also listens to the scriptures. And the vast majority will always think that they are right, and that is that if a small group, the few there be that find it, break away from the masses, then they must be off course, or they must be, weren't we talking about that this morning? Yeah, a sect. And so, see, that's the way they think, even though the Bible says a few there be that find it. And well, if men knew their church history, they would realize that almost without exception, the organization that they belonged to began with a few dissidents, breakaways, and who broke away from something that was off kilter, and they recognized it, and then, not realizing the deception of the devil, they themselves slowly became what they broke away from. And I thought, is that kind of ironic? You know, they became the same thing. We started a church, and I'm heavy on the word we. And I wish God would have started it, but we did. And what we did, and the thing that which church after church does, is they begin to adopt the patterns and the systems and the way that the church that they left operated. They do things the same way. Is that what we did? We tried to become something in our minds a little better than what we broke away from, but actually we used the same thought patterns. And so in generation after generation, God has raised up a handful of fearless witnesses, and that he gave more revelation to than he had ever made available before. And I think that that is what is happening. Smith Wigglesworth raised people from the dead, but he was not given the revelation, or at least he never voiced it, the fact that the Trinity was off kilter and that Jesus was a man. And he called them to preach the truth that he gives to them, no matter who does or does not like it. And so before we ever received the truth that we're getting, which is, I feel, is a major, awesome, unbelievable truth. And God began to make his eternal word clear to some and began to reveal that his only begotten son was exactly that, a begotten son born of a woman made like unto his brethren. How vital is that? Well, I tell you what, it's major, it's vital, it is the way of salvation. God brought forth a man to shed his blood for the salvation of mankind. And what has happened is we have veered away from it until we have a God-man. And I heard a little conversation just recently. And the Antichrist, which we see in 1 John 4:3, has worked hard to change the identity of Christ. He's worked hard to do it, and he's been, I would say, very successful. And has deceived literally millions with his nice-sounding, enticing words. However, in Isaiah 66:2, it says that God always looks. Do you know that that's what it says? God looks for, and he finds those who are poor in spirit, of a contrite spirit, and they tremble at his word. Well, the first thing, in order to tremble at God's word, you have to believe that it's his. And the only thing that causes people to believe that the Bible is God's word is faith. You can't do it just by reading it, because your mind won't untangle it for you. And so, And so what God does is he begins to call that people out of the rubble of Christianity, or churchianity, not Christianity, and sets their feet on his rock of truth. That song that every so often you play it, Corky, and every time that you play it, I get this thing inside. It's like his truth is marching on, you know. The Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I thought, the truth is marching on, but it's missing and bypassing a lot of people. And is this thing that Jesus is a man, is that a truth? But it's such a truth that, and I didn't hear this, but Joe was telling me one day, as we were talking, about a minister that he was listening to on TV, and the minister was saying there's an alarming number of people who are beginning to believe that Jesus is a man. And he said, we need, for their sake, we need to somehow get to them and help them because they're going to go to hell. And alarming number of people. I don't know if that's the right word. That's kind of what Joel said. And so anyway, what is the truth? Well, the truth is that God is sufficient within himself and did not need any more gods like himself. God is sufficient. Is that not what the Bible tells us? With God, all things are possible. God is totally capable within himself. A mastermind that can create all of these objects that float around in the heavens and keep them in place. No wonder his ways are past finding out. He didn't need any more gods to help him. And so he brought forth a man like unto the rest of his men creations. And I know that because that's what the Bible tells us. And in fact, he needed to be a man in order to fulfill the ongoing things said about him by all of the Old Testament prophets. And this is the thing. Ken got up today and he began to share some things that I thought, he read the scriptures. How in the world could anybody mistake this with the scriptures' support unless they just openly don't believe the scriptures? Because what he was saying was making Jesus a man. See, the devil is subtle and sneaky, and the Bible calls him the father of liars. And as such, he has twisted many verses of scriptures within the minds of men. I heard a scripture twisted really bad. I didn't say anything the other day. And anyway, it was twisted out of context. It had nothing to do with anything. And it was making Jesus into a god. And I thought, where did that come from? And I realized it came from the leadership of a church. And see, they want to believe in the Trinity so bad that they take and use anything they can to try to prove it. Now, when I was in the chapel, and I was convinced, foolishly, but convinced that the doctrines and the thought patterns of Don Burnett were next to God himself. I mean, the man was a genius. And he was. And so what I did, ignorantly, stupidly, is I took my commentaries and my any literature I could find to try to prove the doctrine that we had. And you know what? You will find something to prove it somewhere. If you look hard enough, you'll find it. And to make the Bible say things to men that makes absolutely no sense to real Bible scholars. See, it's like, here's Ken is reading these scriptures, and as he's reading them, I'm thinking, how can anybody read these scriptures and come up with anything other than the humanity of Christ? So the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God, was changed by the devil into God the Son several hundred years after Christ. And this is a mystery. How they can support that theory when it wasn't introduced until several hundred years after Christ. And I got some, not rebuke, but something, some resistance by me saying that. I read it out of a dictionary, I think, that we had. And it's not in every dictionary, but in some of them, it tells us when the Trinity was introduced. Or like this, these study courses that Jeff gets, and he was showing me one of them anyway. The title was How the man Christ Jesus became God. How he became God. And so here's this, it's a study course that they have showing when he was introduced and how this all happened. Well, I know enough about it to know that the first apostles never supported that. It was not by the hands of spiritual men, but rather by those who used their logic and their natural senses and the help of a Roman emperor. And by the ungodly input of these people, a devastating doctrine was introduced that has destroyed literally millions. See, God brought forth a man, Christ Jesus, for reasons that required God's only begotten Son to be a man and not a God. However, without a God-given love for God's truth, how do you like the way I worded that? Without a God-given love for God's truth, men are not able to accurately discern God's word. And so millions are and have been left with an image within their heads that changes the function of God's created Savior. It took me a while, and I hope everybody is understanding that. The devil doesn't work just necessarily with words. He builds images. And so that's why it says casting down imaginations, which is an offshoot of images. Casting down images, imaginations, things that are in people's minds. Whatever it is, we got to cast those down that fight against the knowledge. That's not the right word, but that stand against the true knowledge of God. How's that worded? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's where it says that. And so millions have an image in their heads. And even to the point that some believe that God shed his blood or that Mary was the mother of God. And I have said most of these things before, but maybe in a slightly different way. And it is very important that we get some of these things. See, if what men have been led to believe is not the scriptural truth, then for our soul's sakes, we desperately need to find truth. We need to find truth. And you know what my conclusion is? That whosoever will let God give them a desire for truth, God will give them the truth. Whatever point we turn off and say, I don't want no more, that's where we stop. If we want truth, we'll get it. And you know what? It could cost us a lot. See, we need it for our soul's sakes. And you know what else? Here's what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. But if you continue somebody else's words, then lots of luck. And he says, then you will know the truth. And then the only place that I'm aware of anywhere that says this, and the truth will make you free. So how important is truth? Jesus prayed to the Father, and he said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And I have been somehow supernaturally made to understand that statement is true. God's word is the truth. And when it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, I'm beginning to get a whole different picture of that. And some of it was, you heard earlier, like Hebrews, the first chapter. You know, I never bothered to sort those words out. Man shall live by every word. So, in times past, in former days, God spoke to the Jewish fathers by the prophets. Who did the speaking? You know, we never stop and think. We don't examine the words. What man shall live by every word. And so in Romans 8:14, we read, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." I have been given some major insight in this area that we all need to consider. How does the Holy Spirit lead? Through other men? See, I have been under that impression. Who are also filled with their own private theories, or by revealing the existing eternal words of the word Bible through the Holy Spirit. Is that the way God leads? How does God lead? Well, you know what? The first theory is then, you know, that I've heard for years, is that God speaks to anointed pastors and teachers and so forth, and then they speak the truth. And then that's how you get the truth through the Holy Spirit. And I bought it. And hook, line, and deception. And that by the Holy Spirit has the... Well, we should know. If we read the scriptures, we should know that that's not the way it works. It tells us in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says that no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No man knows the things of man except the man's spirit. And so how do you get then? The only way you really get to know the things of God is by the Spirit of God. But that's been a mystery. And so what do you do? Well, here's where faith comes in. And by faith we understand. And so after a while I began to understand that you listen to the Scripture, you listen to the Scripture, and you listen to the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is able to take these hidden mysteries and work them together in the life of each person that does it. And so anyway, he begins to reveal the existing eternal words of God. So that gives us anything and everything that anyone needs to know so as to walk in the way that God intended for all of us to walk or to go. Like most other people, I have turned to men for directions whenever God has supernaturally started something in this church. I turned to Don Burnett, Win Worley, and other voices and books. One of the books that... Well, I never read any of his books, but one of the men that we used to practice a lot of deliverance was John Osteen, who was Joel Osteen's dad. And I thought, I wonder what John would think of some of the things that his son is preaching. But anyway, he practiced deliverance, John Osteen did. And I now realize that we left the leading of the Holy Spirit and turn to the thought patterns of men. And why? That's what we were taught to do. We were taught to do that. However, and here's where this thing came in. I was talking to somebody just the other day. If that is what we decided to do with what God is doing, if that's what we were thinking about doing with what God is doing right now, we would miss what God wants to do in us. And here we go. We have been given a revelation that Jesus is a man. Do you know what happens when you get the revelation, when that starts to turn on? The Bible becomes a totally different book. Because now we can begin to see from the Holy Spirit's standpoint. It's a bit different book. And so there's this huge form of godliness or godlessness, that a church structure that exists all around us that takes comfort in things like unity through diversity. And let me tell you what I know that most of them think, and that is, if you don't believe that Jesus is a God, then you're in the occult. So put that one on and wear it. And my question is, which one of them do we turn to for advice? Okay. If they think this is in the occult, then we want some advice. Which one do we turn to? Where do you go? And I'm saying you don't turn to any of them. You turn to the Lord, but there is something developing here. And I don't know if we appreciate it yet, but there is a unity of the Spirit that's happening in this little church. And so that I feel comfortable with Charlie and Corky and Ken and Pablo, and, you know, I feel comfortable with what they have to say. Are they right? None of us are right. But we're gaining momentum. I feel that the truth measure, if that's the right word, is getting better and better and better. We're starting to understand. When I read the first chapter, first and second chapter of Hebrews, yesterday or this morning, I read it a number of times. When I read the first two chapters, I thought, I never, ever before gained what I just gained out of those two chapters. Why? Because the Spirit of God is opening my eyes. I'm starting to see. What's happening to these other guys in this? I mean, just a handful of people. What's happening to us? Our eyes are opening up. So then I hear comments like I heard the other day about the fact that Jesus is a God. And I'm thinking, based on what? Based on what? And so you don't turn to any of these. Now, and so I said all of this to say this. I was given a phenomenal book written by some people who understand that Jesus Christ is a man. I have the book at home. It's a big book. And Charlie looked at it and he said it's an awesome book. And some other people have looked at it. And have you ever had a chance to look at it at all?
Sure.
It's called One God and One Lord, the title of it. It's thick. It's like a commentary or something. And I was thinking about maybe taking a trip down to their church. It's down in Indiana somewhere. But I was stopped, and I can't even explain. I was stopped by the Holy Spirit. See, we don't need them or somebody else to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Because what could happen, see, what happened to us is we made multiple trips down to Win Worley's church in Chicago and Illinois. And anyway, and I went down and we enjoyed what we saw. And it was a lot of commotion, a lot of people yelling and screaming, a lot of demons cast out, and people coming from all over. What we did is we developed some of the things that they did in that church. And then we went to Seattle, and we listened to Don Burnett, who changed what we were doing. And then we read some other books by Derek Prance and Don Basham, and, you know, some of these guys that were in Deliverance. And I realized that we changed what our pattern kind of to adopt some of the things that they did. Good? No. Bad. And we don't need to do what they do. We need to do what the Holy Spirit directs us to do. Are you following me? We don't need to do what Win Worley did. We don't need to do what Don Burnett thought was the best. Don Burnett changed it. And when people were slain in the Spirit, remember what used to happen? People would be slain in the Spirit here and they'd fall over, no catchers. I don't know of anybody that ever got hurt. And when we saw, I can't think of his name, the leader of the, that was over the Bible College in Seattle. What was his name? Remember the tall, no, Jack, but his Jack Du Bois. And, I mean, we saw things like this. Merle hitting his forehead on the piano and Jack Du Bois falling, I mean, he's like 6'4", falling face first right on this tile floor. And his glasses went off one way, and he had it right on his nose, And he laid there for 45 minutes while Don Burnett was in a panic mode. And when he got up, he didn't even feel anything. That's what we used to see. So then what happened is we learned that what you need for insurance purposes is you need catchers. And so after a while, we had catchers. And that was so we would be safe, see. And so I'm not so sure how many people willingly fell on the floor after they had catchers. See, anyway, I don't have any way of knowing if this group that's down in Indiana has some strange private interpretation that I don't know of yet. And so, what thing will we adopt from having a relationship with them, or will they be encouraging us to join them? You know what I mean? They're a bigger organization than we are. And I don't think that that's what God wants us to do. Anyway, I have to bypass something I already said here. See, we can be enlightened to some major revelations and still be deceived by the devil, even if we have enlightenment. And the devil waits for an opportunity to lie to us, but the Holy Spirit is there for all of those who are serious for God. And God, the voice asked me, said, if you're serious. When I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, a radio minister that I trusted, I listened to him all the time, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. He informed me over the radio, I didn't see him in person, that what I had just received was of the devil. And I listened to it, and I tell you, it just took everything out from under me. And it really affected me until the next day I was at work and I opened the Bible and talk about opening to a certain scripture accidentally. Well, I don't know if God can do that or if he does that or if he wants to do that. But anyway, I opened to Luke 11:13, and where it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And just like that, I said, I didn't ask the devil for this. I was asking God. And faith came in, and I was set free or made free or whatever. And I never turned that guy on again. And so, as such, I believe that the Holy Spirit will use God's word that we trust to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. See, that's why we need to be filled with it. Since faith comes by hearing truth. Is that? Faith comes by hearing truth, not deception. So I, for one, don't really want to gamble on the thought patterns of these people. Are they good? They could be. And they could not be. Just because they believe that Jesus is man doesn't make everything they believe right. And just because we believe that Jesus is a man doesn't make everything that we believe right. And as we don't want to be the ones to decide their ongoing churchianity or Christianity, I don't want to be governed by them either. The natural man who tries to think spiritual assumes that there are many spiritual people that are out there. They just assume it. And so each one needs to find one of those spiritual people to answer to. However, this is probably one of the most dead-end roads that exists. I need to find somebody to answer to. No, you don't. We need to find God to answer to. We need a relationship with him, and we answer to him. See, the head of every man is Christ, not the head of every man is a pastor. And unless the one we answer to is exactly like one of the first apostles, we got trouble. So, but and the thing about it, like I said, I'm not going to pick out somebody that doesn't agree with me. So what's the purpose of having somebody to answer to. And tell anyone out there that you do not believe that Jesus is a God, but rather a man, and they will gather others around you to try and convince you that you've lost all hope. See, that's what this minister was saying on TV, and Joe was listening to him. And he said, the man was said it. He said, unless you believe that Jesus is a God, you're going to go to hell. And they will be convinced inside that they're doing God's will by changing your mind, your mindset. Well, and Jesus even said they even might kill somebody thinking that they are doing God's service. Remember what the Jews said about Paul when they said that he was going to preach to the Gentiles in Acts 22:22. See, some of these scriptures are easy to remember where they're at. Acts 22:22. They said, away with such a fellow. It is not fit that he should live. Acts 22:22. And so people hear a false doctrine for so long so that they become inwardly convinced that it is the truth. You hear something enough, something inside will convince you that it is the truth. And that is why willingly, as a little, and that is why willingly, as a little child, receiving a love for God's truth, in and of God's word only, is so vital. That we receive a love for God's truth through His word, that is why it is so vital. And of course, the word unless or except or if or whatever in these some of these statements, become unless we become converted over to the mentality, not the lifestyle. We don't become as little kids, but as newborn babes or infants or children or whatever, and desire the sincere milk of God's word. This is in, I think it's in 1 Peter 2:2. Then it says in John or Matthew 18:3, it says, unless we become converted and become as little children. It doesn't mean we become little children. It become with the same approach as little children. It says they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And so if men in false doctrine preach some truth, are they still okay? Or is God a stickler when it comes to receiving a love for the truth? They're preaching some truth. And remember the old theory that people had? They said, well, you know, if you take all these religions and put them together, they all have a little, each one has some truth, and you put them all together and you got all truth. And I'm thinking, that don't make sense. It says that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead and guide men into all truth. Is He just interested in just me having some truth and you having some truth and everybody having? Well, you know what? That's where we are. Each one of us is getting some truth. But at some point, the Holy Spirit will bring this together and we'll have a pretty good grasp of truth. And if it says that because they receive not a love for the truth that they might be saved, it is salvation dependent maybe upon receiving love for the truth? I would say from that statement. But you know what? That's one you got to untangle. Or no, you got to let the Holy Spirit untangle it. And so preaching truth, when and if God gives it to somebody. You know, I think Smith Wigglesworth, if he would have understood the humanity of Christ, and I don't know if he didn't. I don't have a clue. I don't have no way of knowing. But he was he wouldn't even allow anything into his house except the Bible. And I think it was the King James translation. I'm not sure. But, and so, if he would have had the revelation that Jesus was a man, I think he would have preached it. And they probably would have not allowed him. I mean, he wasn't allowed in a lot of churches, so I'm wondering if maybe he did understand it. And when God gives truth, but men are afraid to preach it, lest they should offend their friends or their brethren, is that still okay? And when men are afraid of persecution because of the truth, are they still okay? See, I know what the scriptures say in each case, but how do we see it? What is our approach? See, in Daniel 11, we are told that those who do understand will instruct many. And I have been made to know that that's going to happen. And is it us? I don't know. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, we're told that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that doesn't make sense. Or maybe opened to believe. Maybe that's what he means here. And willing to receive the truth. Maybe that's part of it, you know. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Or how about are open to the truth or something. See, it don't make sense when you see it like that. Here's a great mystery. Some people who look exactly like a lot of other people are open to truth while others aren't. They all look the same. Explain that to me. And we have seen it, just even in the identity of Christ. What really puzzles me is how so many that professedly are open to the scriptures really are only open when the scriptures appear to support their pre-programmed theories. You know what I mean? That's the only time they're really open. And sometimes the light that leads some out of the darkness blinds others. The light that leads some out of the darkness blinds others. I'm not really sure what God saw in us that allowed us to be given one of the most profound, if not the greatest, revelations that I have ever received. I don't know of any revelation that we've ever gotten that is like this. We should have known this 50 years ago. What did I say? Oh. He wants in. It's not that skunk, I hope. But anyway, the magnitude of the real identity of the God's only begotten Son is a life and death issue. It's not a little one. It's a big one. And so, who do you say that he is? And does it matter? Well, let me tell you. It matters so much so that the devil is intent on lying and deceiving millions in this area. That should give us a clue, shouldn't it? The way the devil fights that thing. If you believe that Jesus is a man, you're going to go to hell. That sounds to me like the Jewish leaders. Well, the Jewish leaders, they were mad at Jesus because they thought he was saying he was God. You can't win for losing, you know what I mean? And so millions may not see the issue, but men's souls hang in the balance as men are tossed to and fro, carried about with a variety of false doctrines. Isn't that what it says? Carried about by winds of doctrines. We are told in 1 Corinthians 11:3 that the head of every man is Christ. And it's not other men. But aren't we supposed to answer to other men? Well, I don't really see that. And that's why I say that we want to be careful that we don't get ourselves in another mess where we're subject to people like we were to Community Chapel. And you know, it didn't start out that way. We were kind of independent to start in the very, very, very beginning. And but you know what? It's not that misery loves company. That's not the right word. But we're human, and we like company, and we like to be a part of. And it's hard to have to be separated from. And just a relationship with God through Christ, that's not quite enough. You know, it's not quite enough. And so what God did is he separated us. Isn't that kind of what's happened? We got separated. And At first, it was hard. And I'm, Corky, I say, Corky's sitting here, and I say this to his credit, but he has been one of the best supporters, helpers for me in this area of anybody that I've ever met. And I have sat, and here we are, had a handful of people, a handful of people, a handful of people, a handful of people. Then but I've had all these dreams. And in the dreams, the church is full of people, and miracles are taking place and things, and it don't happen. And so here we sat, a handful of people. And then Corky will say, well, what difference does that make? And, but anyway, it appears that each one of us, man or woman, is accountable to only God through Christ. And so, in and of God's word, see, God has kept his word so profound. That's another thing. How many things have I gotten revelations by faith of things that I, you know, people say, well, the Bible is just a bunch of men have put this whole thing together. And so how do we know that it's God's word? And so I read the verses like, you know, God spoke to the prophets or to the fathers of the prophets. One day faith came and I said, of course, of course. That's why this thing is so profound. Of course God spoke to through Moses. He spoke through the Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He spoke to the fathers through these men. And in these last days now, he has spoken to us by his son. But God is the one that did it. It is God's word. And he has chosen to do it through people. And so God has kept this word so profound, so that the Holy Spirit is able to lead and guide every single open hearer to the same truth. When we get all through with this word, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will have led every one of us to the same revelations. And that's the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is not us getting together and deciding that no matter what we believe, we're all one, you know. See, that's why 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, to let the prophets speak two or three and let the others judge. What's happening? God is producing prophets. You know, the Bible says in the last verse of the 13th chapter, no, the first verse of the 14th chapter, it says, desire spiritual gifts and especially that you may prophesy. People see that and they think, well, God wants everybody to prophesy. And it says to desire to prophesy. So what do you prophesy? Well, you prophesy, I tell you, when you're preaching God's word, and that's why people have a hard time understanding the word prophecy, because it actually is confused with just the word preaching, preaching God's word. You preach God's word, you prophesy. And God said, if any prophet stands up and preaches anything other than what I told him to preach, or what I preach, or what I've said, let him be accursed. I said that back in Leviticus. And so, the reason is that he said, let the others judge, is to make sure that men are all hearing accurately from the Holy Spirit. And that is why what is happening is happening. See, the Holy Spirit will always say the same thing. It is man who has the weakness. You're not going to hear something different from the Holy Spirit in another church. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, it tells us that prophecies will fail. And then in verse 9, it says that we prophesy in part. However, we are told in the first verse of 14, it says, to desire to prophesy. See, Jesus prayed something that very few people have ever seemed to hear. In John 17:17, he prayed that the Father would sanctify his church through his truth. And then explained that God's word is the truth. Well, you know, see, God is not going to sanctify his church through false doctrine. And the devil is determined to not let it happen God's way. And so he has been on a 6,000-year campaign to keep the truth factor of God's word out of men's lives. And some of his methods for success make it hard to believe that men actually fall for it. Some of the things that he's done, it makes it hard for people to believe it. I keep saying, but of course, you know, we live 70 to 80 years, maybe. And in that time, we are not aware of what happened to the last guy that lived 80 years. You know, so we start all over again. Now, I keep saying this, however, it is so important that it needs to be said over and over. What most people believe to be the Word of God is not God's Word. What most people believe to be the Word of God is not God's Word. But rather, it is conclusions of men without the Holy Spirit. Like in Jude 19, it says, these are those who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. That's a mouthful. One little verse. They're separated because they're sensual and because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so, the theories of the head, dreams of the night, however, after a while, false doctrines become the status quo until later generations will do anything, they will even kill, for the sake of what they believe is right or wrong. You know, like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, you know, there was like 400 years in between John the Baptist and Malachi. It was a long, long period of time. And so in 200 years, look where we're at as a nation. And so anyway, the devil has had plenty of time to put phony religious leaders in charge of the had plenty of time to put phony religious leaders in charge of the Jewish nation, a religion, to the point that the entire system had become demonically driven, so that Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are your father, the devil." That must have really gone over good. If the devil was able to do what he had done to God's words of truth in just a couple hundred years, then where were the Jewish leaders? To us in a couple of year, hundred years, and where were the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day that when they had spent 400 years between, you know, the last of the prophets? They were so messed up so that Jesus told them that they had their traditions and private interpretations, they made God's word of no effect. You know, I'm starting to understand that. Of course I should, but I am. God sent his Holy Spirit specifically so as to lead and guide us into the truth. And so if that's the case, is truth vital? If he was given so as to lead and guide us, see, we're told that God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. How are you guys doing with that sign? Is it?
Oh, we're close.
It's on its way?
We got to talk about one thing, but we're close.
Okay. And since Scripture verse after verse puts Jesus Christ as a man, is that not the truth? Well, and is it not vital? And since God is the one who let us know that he was and is a man, and we allow the devil to change his identity, are we still okay with God? Or are we going to be required to say something? Will we one day maybe be required to preach the truth to those that don't understand it yet? And the thing about it, here's what I understand. All hell's going to break loose. Because this is a vital issue. Because the devil has made it such. As I have listened to the New Testament scriptures over and over, I have slowly come to the conclusion that who we say that Jesus is determines how God himself sees us. Plus, as strange as this whole thing is, flesh and blood, you know, natural man who listens mainly to the devil cannot understand how Jesus could possibly be just a man. Isn't that one of the issues? In Matthew 16:16, Peter defined Christ as God's Son, not God the Son. And a big difference. And Jesus said, upon this rock, this confession, he says, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Jews knew that the Christ was a man. And so they were offended when he said he was the Son of God, because he said, well, now you're saying you're God. He never said that. But he says in Matthew 16:16, Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. And what it is, it's upon this confession. And upon the rock of the identity of Jesus Christ is where truth is. The church will be built. And Peter was given the keys to the kingdom in this setting. And my question is, does it not matter what his identity is? Does it not matter? Amen.